You are listening to audio from Riverside Church. If you would like to check out more resources, please visit riverside.church.
Good morning. Welcome again to Riverside. My name's Keith. I'm one of the leaders around here. And actually, we're continuing on this morning in our sermon series, the book of Exodus. This is probably the second to last week. It depends on how you count Advent, but next week, Pastor Andrew will read the last verses of Exodus, which is pretty exciting. And a couple months ago, or maybe last month ago, Andrew had two sermons from chapters 25 through 30. Andrew preached two sermons from chapters 25 through 30 on the designs and significance of the tabernacle and the designs and significance of the priestly garments. And today, what I'm going to walk us through is chapters 35 through 40, where we see the tabernacle actually get built. And we see the garments actually get created. Now, these chapters are fairly redundant because God's people actually build the tabernacle the exact way God directed them to build the tabernacle. So what we're going to see is there's large sections of scriptures that are almost repeated verbatim, okay? And that doesn't mean we get to gloss over, but they are in large portions just verbatim from what we've already seen earlier. And this is encouraging because it means God's people actually obeyed the Lord. They actually obeyed his commandments and built the tabernacle and designed these garments in the way the Lord had commanded them. And as we've seen in this series, following the commands of the Lord was not necessarily a strong suit for the people, right? Have we seen that recently, right? But in these closing chapters, they actually do follow the Lord, and they seem to get it right this time. So we're actually going to look at a scripture where the people of God get it right. Amen? Exciting, right? All right, so this should be a pretty encouraging text for us this morning. And before we read it, let's pause. Acknowledge the presence of God is here with us. And if you're gathering with us online, we're glad that you're in your warm home, didn't venture out into the snowy roads, and we're glad you're with us as well. We're here to be encouraged by the presence of God. Let's pray and acknowledge that. Spirit. Holy Spirit. Spirit that is set apart and yet is also indwelling in believers, especially as we come together in the name of Jesus. We acknowledge your presence. We acknowledge your goodness. We acknowledge that we are in need of you to help us understand the Word of God, interpret the Word of God, and apply the Word of God. So, Spirit in our midst. Quiet our hearts. Open our eyes. Open our ears. We long to be formed more and more to the image of Jesus, and we thank you that you use your word, you use community as major pillars in that work. And so we yield this time to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so we got 5.5 chapters today. We're not going to read verse by verse. But these five chapters kind of follow a sequence I'm going to kind of use today. The sequence is this: rest, give, build, glory. Okay, chapter 35 begins with this call for Sabbath rest. The rest of chapter 35, the beginning part of 36, details how the people of God gave generously to the work. Chapters 36 through 40 show how they actually go and build. They build the tabernacle. They build out the priestly garments. Again, a lot of repetition there from the previous design chapters. And then the very last passage of Exodus, which Pastor Andrew will preach on next week, the closing verses of Exodus all are about the glory of God. The glory of God descending and filling the tabernacle. So we see in the closing of this book here, this call to rest, this call to give, this call to build, and then we see glory. Glory. And again, it starts off with rest. And so it starts off with rest. And this is kind of interesting because they got a lot to get done, right? I mean, would you agree with that? There's a lot to get done. A lot of things to build, a lot of things to design, a lot of materials to get together, a lot of small elements to make, a lot of big elements to make. There's a lot to get done. Which is why I find it so cool that God says, in the midst of all this work, in the midst of all the work, don't forget to rest. It's kind of cool. I mean, how many of you had a boss say, all right, Jeff, we got a brand new project, you know, used to work at Leydig. You know, we have this massive new project with like 25 moving parts and all these vendors. But we want you to first rest, Jeff, before you take on this project. Jeff, I want you to rest. Never happen? Never happen. Well, this is how the building project starts with the people of God. Moses assembles the whole community, right? The whole community. And he says to them, these are the things the Lord has commanded us to do. This is the command. We're about to build. Here's the command. So for 6 days, work is to be done. All right, so we're going to do some work. But the seventh day, it's a holy day, a day of Sabbath rest to the Lord. And whoever does work on that day, we should be put to death. And you might be going, well, that's a beautiful thing, right? Because he's saying, like, you got to work. It's you got to rest. It's that important. Do not light a fire on any of your dwellings on the Sabbath day. And again, I think this opening is huge. In the midst of all this work you're doing for God, don't forget to rest with God. And do you remember, I know it was like 10 months ago, where were the people of God? In Egypt, right? And what were they doing in Egypt? They were slaves. And was there any rest from their work? No. Remember the contrast. There's no rest. There's no care for their souls. There's no care for their bodies. It's only work, 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 work. But with God, who is our leader, who is our master, who is our Lord, it's, yes, there's work, but there's also rest. There's rest. It's a huge difference from the opening of Exodus. By the way, we're going to see in these chapters, their work is voluntary. It makes it very clear in these chapters, this work and this giving is all voluntary, which wasn't the case in Egypt. To contrast. So this is this voluntary-driven building project, this voluntary-driven building event starts with rest, the call to rest, which I just think is so, so cool. And then the next 38 verses, we see a long section on giving. A long section on giving. Because the resources for this project have to come from somewhere, and it comes from God's people giving generously of their talents, of their treasure, and of their time. So I'm just going to walk us through parts of these verses. In verse 4, so then Moses said to the whole Israelite community, this is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take up an offering. Now, here's the deal though. Everyone who is willing, this is not about obligation, everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze, also, you know, blue and purple and scarlet yarn and some fine linen. And it goes on and on and on to list resources that are needed to build the tabernacle and more resources to build the priest's garments. Now, let's just step back and think, why does God ask the people to give? Because we've been going through Exodus. Do you think God could just drop a tabernacle from the sky? Because he's dropped manna from the sky. Right? He's brought quail whenever they needed food. Just, here it is. I mean, they needed water. Where did it come from? A rock in the desert. So could God have just dropped the tabernacle in their midst? Yes, he could have. But that's not how he typically works, is it? It's not how he typically works. He typically uses his people. He involves us in the process. He gives a direction. He has the designs. He is the master builder, but he invites us to participate. This participation begins with the people here in Exodus with a giving, with sacrificial giving. And they're not just giving stuff. They're also giving their talents. They're giving of their skills. So verse 10, all who are skilled among you are to come and make everything the Lord has commanded. So God invites them to use their skills and their talents, what they're good at. It's pretty cool. And then verses 11 through 19 detail all the items to be constructed. It gives, hey, we're going to build all these things based on the skilled labor, and it requires people with various talents. Lots of diverse talents are used to build all of these things. And then in verse 20, the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence. And everyone who is willing, again, there's such a beautiful line here. Everyone who is willing and whose heart was moved. It's not about Moses' twisting of their arms. And no, those folks whose heart were moved and they came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work of the tent of the meeting and for all its service and for the sacred garments. And all who are willing, both men and women alike, of a diverse group of people, men and women came and brought gold and jewelry of all kinds. So they gave precious metals. And everyone had a blue or purple or scarlet yarn or fine linen. And so some people brought gold. Some people didn't have gold, but they brought like their fine linen. Some people gave other materials to be used in the building of this. Verse 25, every skilled woman spun with her hands and brought what she had spun. A.K.A. people are serving in where they're skilled, unique areas of skill. And by the way, as a side note, this does not mean if a woman wants to make a spiritual contribution that she has to learn to sew. That's not what it means. It's not. It's just back then, some women were skilled at sewing and some were not skilled at sewing. Just like today, some are skilled at sewing and some are not skilled at sewing. I mean, some of us, you'd want sewing my preaching sweater for next Sunday or Andrew's preaching sweater for next Sunday. Some of us, you would not want to do that, right? It's the skilled nature. Some people are skilled at making fabric. Some are not. So those folks would serve in other areas. What we see in these chapters is men and women all using their unique talents, their unique skills to serve the Lord and to serve the church. And it's cool, the Bible singles out here a group of women who are using their unique skills to be part of this project. It's pretty cool. In verse 7, another group of folks are singled out. It's the leaders. The leaders brought onyx stones and other gems. In other words, the leaders don't get to just say, everyone go do this. They have to actually be part of like the giving. So I can't just go, hey guys, can you all go be sacrificing? Or the leaders have to also go. So it says the leaders are also giving, they're sacrificing. In verse 20, all the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord free will offerings for all the work the Lord gave through Moses and commanded them to do. Again, it's willingly serving. Isn't this cool? Isn't this cool? Verse 31 gets better. We see someone who gets filled with the Holy Spirit. Ready for this? Gets filled with the Holy Spirit. Some people say this is the first time in Scripture or the second time in Scripture based on how you read Joseph in Genesis. But it's either the first or second time we see in the entire Bible someone filled with the Spirit. And guess who gets filled with the Spirit? It's not a pastor. It's not the music leader. Well, it kind of is. It's an artist. The person who gets filled with the Spirit is an artist. I just find that cool. Then Moses said to the Israelites, see, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, and he's filled them with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding. And he's filled them with the Spirit of God, with knowledge and with all kinds of skills to make artistic designs. And then he goes on to say all the materials he's going to use by the Spirit of God compelling him to use these materials to make artistic designs and encourage all kinds of other artistic crafts. And he's given both him and Eliab the ability to teach others. And he's filled them, he's filled all him and all these other folks with skills to do all kinds of work as engravers and as designers and as embroiderers in blue and purple and scarlet yarn and fine linen and weavers and all the skilled workers and all the designers. Is this not cool? Is this not cool? I mean, God filling with his Spirit the artists, the embroiderers, the weavers, to create beauty. Other people joining in with their unique talents and their unique skills to use these materials to build poles and furniture. And people are doing it all voluntarily, right? Moses isn't like twisting arms. It's all voluntarily, sacrificially happening, which is so cool. And then chapter 36 begins by saying, so Bezalel and Oholiab have every skilled person whom the Lord has given skill and ability to know how to carry out all the work of constructing the sanctuary are to do the work just as the Lord has commanded. So they're to do this just as the Lord has commanded. And by the way, they're actually going to obey and do just as the Lord has commanded. Their previous building campaign, chapter 32, didn't really happen that well, right? They did not do just as the Lord commanded. They had a golden calf. Not as the Lord commanded. But here, they will do it just as the Lord has commanded them. And then all the resources start to get handed out for the work. They received from Moses all the offerings the artist did and all the offerings from the Israelites that had been brought to carry out this construction project. And so the materials were then handed out. And the people continue to bring free will offerings morning after morning. Daily offerings, daily offering plates getting passed around in the church. Amen? No amen. Oh, okay, yes. A few amens, yes, morning after morning. The broader church continues to give to the work of God. In fact, this is interesting. The giving campaign, and by the way, we're not launching a giving campaign this morning. You can relax, Jeff. Jeff is already ready to get his wallet out, but no, we're not launching a building campaign this morning. But this is, the giving is so strong that the artists say this, hey, Moses, the people are bringing more than enough gold. We have a little too much gold right now. God's given us this command to use a lot of gold for the work, but we're getting a little too much gold. There's too much giving going on. The offering box is overflowing a little bit too much. There's too much resources being given by the people of God. So verse 6. So the people were restrained from giving. Isn't that funny? The people were restrained from bringing more. Like stop giving. Because what they had already had was more than enough to do the work. They had to be restrained from giving. They were so generous that the leaders had to restrain them from giving more. Can you imagine that as a leadership problem? Can you imagine that? Now, I'm not going to give a lot of commentary on this section. I'll give a little bit, not much, because one, I think it's pretty clear. And two, I don't want to strong arm. I don't want to be like manipulating because this is free will kind of stuff. I'm not going to give a lot of commentary, but I do think we're seeing here the people of God are generous, and it's about their hearts. And you can breathe. We're not launching a building campaign today, but God is doing some neat things in our church and through our church, and supported in large part by a lot of us giving, willingly giving of our resources, be it time. A lot of people give time or their talents or their treasure. And we're not at the point where we got to start saying stop giving. We're not there yet, okay? Don't stop giving. I mean, but it's encouraging to see how many folks in our church, just like Exodus, are just voluntarily, sacrificially giving to the work of God here. It's pretty cool. I'll just reiterate what Sean shared last week. As many of you know, if you've been here for a couple years, we are down in numbers. If you look around, we are a smaller church now than we were before the pandemic. We've not been immune to the political tensions and the sorting and the shuffling that's gone on in our broader culture. We've had people from the left and from the right and from the middle and from whatever other geometric sorting you want to do, you know, not be part of it. And we've had a reduction in the amount of people here who serve and who give. And we're not scrambling. We've always been very conservative in our spending, but as Sean shared, we are down, and that's just part of where we're at. I want you guys to know that. That might mean in the future there's some adjustments, but just it's important to know that. But again, the main heart of this passage, the main heart is people gave willingly, not because Moses strong-armed them. It was just a heart of generosity. They willingly gave. This is pretty cool. And so again, the sequence of these chapters is rest, give, build, glory. What happens next, chapters 36, verse 8 through chapter 40, we're going to see the build portion. It starts with this line in chapter 36, verse 8, which says this. This is the build. All those who were skilled among the workers made the tabernacle. They start to build the tabernacle, and it's going to repeat a lot of the designs from the previous chapters because they build the way the Lord commanded. To the very last chapter of Exodus, chapter 40, verse 33, which ends by saying this, and so Moses finished the work. The people do the work. The people build the tabernacle. They actually build the elements. They actually design and actually like sew and create the priestly garments. And again, there's a lot of repetition here because they actually do as the designs were laid out in the previous chapters that Andrew preached on. They actually obeyed God. And by the way, their obedience is a key part of this. Obedience is a key part of this. For example, chapter 39, verse 42. The Israelites had done all the work, what does it say? Just as the Lord had commanded Moses. In verse 43, Moses inspected the work and saw that they had done it just as the Lord had commanded them. You see, and then Moses blessed them. By the way, just as the Lord has commanded repeats eight more times in chapter 40. It's each piece of furniture is said, okay, here's this piece of furniture, and they did it just as the Lord commanded. Which means each piece of furniture they did just as the Lord commanded, which means they're not picking and choosing. They're not picking and choosing which commands they're going to obey and which ones they're not. They're not picking and choosing, well, we like this design, but maybe we'll do it our way over here. No. They simply listened to all of God's word, and they applied all of God's word to their actions. Now, remember, these are not a perfect people. Chapter 32, right? The golden calf. He's not a perfect people, but we see here in these later chapters, they are striving to follow God. And again, follow all of his directions. They're not picking and choosing what to obey and what to ignore. They did everything just as the Lord commanded. I had a friend of mine who, I was talking to this person, and they described themselves as a cafeteria Christian. They said, I'm a cafeteria Christian. I kind of like this, and I like this, and the lima beans, not taking those, and they describe themselves as a cafeteria Christian. I pick and choose what I like, I pick and choose what I don't like, and I take what I like, and I just ignore what I don't like. Cafeteria Christian. I think that describes a lot of people when it comes to things of faith, right? I don't like that. I'll ignore it. Or I won't do it, or even just be completely opposed to it. But no. Here in Exodus, they weren't perfect, chapter 32, but now we see they're doing everything just as the Lord commanded, which certainly means they repented well, right? When they didn't get it right, they repented well, as the Lord has commanded us to repent well. But they were a humble people, simply following the Lord, doing everything he commanded them. And I just think that's pretty cool. I think it's pretty cool. So again, rest, give, build, and then the final verses of the entire book of Exodus, chapter 40, verses 34 through 38, glory. It shows the presence of God coming down to dwell among his people. It's an amazing scene that ends the book of Exodus, and Pastor Andrew will get to preach on that next Sunday. It's going to be amazing because it's a glorious, glorious, glorious passage. So look, this is a pretty simple text to preach because I'm just walking us through what the people of God did, and I think it's pretty self-explanatory, right? Rest, give, build. I mean, and glory's next week. For some of us today, I think the encouragement is to rest. I mean, rest has been a mega theme through Exodus, right? Rest is a mega theme through Exodus because God's people weren't allowed to rest in Egypt, and God is saying, my people will rest. Rest with me. Not crash, not work so hard that you have nothing left that you crash and watch YouTube for 8 hours. That's in the Message version, by the way. I'm just kidding. It's not a message. You know what I mean. Don't crash after 8 hours and just have nothing left. No, rest. Intentional rest with God. It's not just work for God. It's rest with God. And for some of us, the call is to rest with God. A New Testament passage that comes to mind on this one is Hebrews 4:11. One of my favorite verses. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. Is that not a hilarious verse? Make every effort, Jeff, to rest. Effortful rest. What is effortful rest? I mean, it's going to look different for all of us, right? But make every effort. This is a big deal, friends. To rest. Sabbath rest. Effortful rest. And for some of us, that is the calling from this passage. Because he brings Sabbath back up and says, this is important to rest with God, to rest with the people of God. We've talked about Sabbath a lot in this series because it's come up a lot. For others of us, this is about giving and not having your arm twisted to give of your time or your talent or your treasure, but a heart of serving and a heart of generosity. A New Testament passage comes to mind on this one is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, which says this. Remember, whoever sows sparingly also reaps sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each one should give what you've decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so I would just say, friends, search your heart. Are you generous? And if you are a giver, are you joyful in your giving? Is this like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I get to give up my time and I get to use my skills to do this kind of work and serve people, or I get to give up my treasure. Are you joyful in it? Because I do believe God cares more. I was going to say as much, but I think he cares more about our hearts than he does about the HVAC bill here. I really do. I think God cares more about our hearts than he does about, you know, the bills. I just think he does. And again, the people in Exodus gave so much, the leader had to say, stop. The offering boxes are filled. So for some of us, it's about rest. Others of us, it's about giving. And where can you give? And finally, there's this section about building, doing the stuff God's commanded his people to do. I was trying to think, I could go on two ways on this one. I can go on the cafeteria Christian, are we following all the Lord's commands? Or I could say, are we actually like just doing it? Are we talking about it or doing it? And I've told this story before, but one of my favorite stories I love to share is of John Wimber. John Wimber started the Vineyard movement. And when John Wimber became a Christian in the Jesus movement, you know, the 1960s, 1970s, he became a Christian in the Jesus movement, he went to this little Presbyterian church, okay? He's a new believer, and he sits down in the church, and he's listening to all the talking, and then he goes home a little disappointed. The next week, he sits back down in their, I'm assuming it's pews, and hears talking, and he leaves. And the third week, he sits back down the pews, and hears the talking, and he leans over to someone and says, hey, when are we going to do this stuff? And they're like, what do you mean? Like, you know, when are we going to do this stuff? Like, what are you talking about? Like we're all these things we're talking about, we see Jesus, like, when are we going to do it? He was like, I want to be part of praying for the sick. I want to be part of ministering to those who are captive. I want to be part of praying for those who are lost to know Jesus. I want to be part of sharing the gospel. Like when are we going to, like, you know, the stuff the pastor's talking about? When are we going to do this stuff? It was this line, do this stuff. And they looked at him like, what are you talking about? And it became this line in the Vineyard movement. Okay, guys, let's just do the stuff. It just became this line, like, it's just time to do the stuff. And I just think, like, Riverside, there's so many unique skills in this church, unique talents, unique gifts, artists, engineers, teachers. I mean, just gifted communicators. Really good with different folks of different ages, gifts of mercy, gifts of leadership. Like, let's do this stuff, right? Let's do this stuff. Let's use our unique skills to build God's kingdoms together to do this stuff. So where are you using your gifts to build? And the New Testament passage that comes to mind on this one is Romans 12:6, which says this, we have different gifts, right? According to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, do the stuff. Again, that's the Keith version. Then prophesy in accordance with your faith is the verse. If it is serving, well then, serve. If it's teaching, you got to teach. If you have this gift of encouragement, we need you to encourage. If you have this gift of like just generous giving, yes, give. If you have this leadership gift, use it diligently. If you have this mercy gifting, which by the way, I think is one of the hardest spiritual gifts to have is the gift of mercy, because your heart is breaking all the time. And the church needs you to lead us. As your heart is breaking, to lead us, to have our heart break for the things that break God's heart. I don't think we need more mouthpieces and leaders like me. I think we need more people with a mercy gifting saying, Keith, stop talking. We got to do this stuff. There are people hurting. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully and do it with the church. Everyone using their unique gifts. It's so cool. I mean, and the result of resting well with God, the result of people who are prioritizing life with God, not just working for God, but life with God, and people who are giving generously, and each one using their gifts to build the work of God, the result, as we'll see next week, is glory. I mean, and not glory to Moses, glory to God. I mean, God's glory. And friends, just like the folks in Exodus, you and I are called to obey, to be faithful. Now, it is about a voluntarily and joyfully responding. God's inviting us to this life with him. He's inviting us today to this life with him and with each other. With him and with each other. As we look what happens at the end of Exodus, it's It's pretty cool. I love to be part of, I feel like we are a body like this. I'd love for us to grow even more like this, what we see here in this body here at Riverside. So guys, this morning, friends, men and women, as Exodus would say a lot, God is inviting us. He's inviting us to go deeper. Deeper rest, deeper giving, deeper doing of the stuff for his glory, his name, his renown. One of the ways that we respond to the invitation of God has come to the table of community this week. It's our way of saying, this is not about giving and building and doing things on our own. This is about doing it with God. And so every week we come to the table of communion, and we take these elements that are representations of his body and his blood, and we put them in us. Just as the artists were filled with the Spirit, we are putting elements in our bodies to remind us that we are marked, we are filled with so much Jesus. It's a beautiful invitation by God saying, hey, when you gather, do this. Do this in remembrance of me. And when we come to the table, we go, oh yes, that's right. The body of Jesus broken for me. Oh, yeah. The blood of Christ shed for us. Sorry about that. Body and blood of Jesus representations. That was, I don't know. Some were a lot more coordinated than the pastor and some were less coordinated. I don't know. You know. But it's the invitation of God. I mean, this is invitation. I want to say, first off, you don't have to come to the table today. It's voluntary. We don't take notes of, oh my gosh, will Phil come this week or not? It's voluntary. But you are invited. You're invited by God to rest with him. Invited by God to be part of giving and trusting him. That you're invited by God to use your unique talents. You might go, but my unique talent, most churches don't know how to use it. Most time I tell the pastor of the church my unique talent and they go, that's nice. Would you rather hand out a bulletin? You're going, but my talent is this, but sure, I'll do that. No, God's inviting you this morning. He's inviting us this morning to the table where we're reminded of his filling of the Spirit and the life of Christ in us. We do it together because it's about the communal work. It's a beautiful thing we do each and every week. And also, if you need prayer for anything, if you're like, I want more of that, I want more rest. I want to have more generosity. I want to know how to use my skills, or just I want more filling of the Spirit. I mean, a lot of things we prayed for, right? There's a prayer sign in the back. I'll be back there. Some of our leaders will be there. We'll have to pray with you. It's like do this. It's part of doing this stuff together. It's just praying with each other, right? Just being with each other and praying with each other, and discerning together. So, I'll be back there, ready to do some stuff, some prayer stuff. Come get prayed for. And as the band comes up, we'll also sing some more songs of response together. It's a wonderful way of giving glory to God together. So let's pray. God, what an amazing 10-month journey this has been so far. Seeing your people in captivity, oppression, slavery, bricks without straw, seeing your strong hand deliver them. I think of the way we have been in bondage to sin and to the ways of the world. You rescued us by your Spirit, by your strong hand. And then all the wandering the wilderness, they were with you, God. And at times, God, I feel like we're wandering, but we're with you. And now we get to see a beautiful response of the people of God. And I pray, God, you by your Spirit would help us respond well. I thank you that you are a different Lord than the Pharaoh of Egypt. You're a generous God, a sacrificial God. You are a leader that goes first. You didn't stand up in heaven and point people to give sacrificially. No, you came down, dwelt among us, lived a perfect life, which we will really start to focus in on this Advent season coming up. You made the first move. You made the second move. You make all the moves because you're that kind of leader. You are so worthy of worship. You are so glorious. Any giving or doing of the stuff is simply just an act of giving back on our part. Any word of praise or music this morning is simply our act of giving back to you what you've already given us, which is breath. which is life, which is your spirit moving in us, God. This is about you. And so this spirit, would you just empower us this morning to join our voices, to join our hearts in prayer and singing and giving and communion and doing the stuff together and with each other in spirit, all to the glory of God the Father, of God the Son, and to you, God the Spirit. I am just, God, I'm just moved how it seems like at times there's just your palpable presence fills a place. And we'll see that next week, how you just fill the tabernacle with your glory. And God, we pray for more of that. And I don't think it ends up being more of you. I think it's just more of our eyes opening to you. And so open our eyes, Spirit. Open our hearts to the kingdom, to what you're doing. So this is for you, to your glory. I'm just going to be quiet now. We're just going to join our voices. Amen. Amen. If you're able, please stand up. Let's just do this stuff together.
Thank you for listening to Riverside Church. For more resources, visit riverside.church.